This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Lord Jesus, we have your fear in our heart. We tremble with holy fear this day. We ask that you will cause us to discern you. We discern you, Lord. We discern you in our brothers. We discern you through your angels. We desire you by the activity of the Holy Ghost in our midst. We have discernment. We have age in the spirit. We have age. We are people that are with age in the spirit. We are not casual. We are not casual. We have regard in our heart. We have fear in our heart. We have fear in our heart. We have regard in our heart. We believe your holy things. We believe that which we are doing. Honor you, Son of God. Blessed be your name, O God. I yield myself to you, Holy Ghost. I say I'm willing that you move me any direction. I ask for the activity of the seven spirit to be at work. I ask for the manifestation of the nine gifts of the spirit. I ask that you will bring forth miracles. You will bring forth healings. You will bring forth spirit of, special spirit of faith. That my faith be high and the faith of your people be high. I yield myself to prophecy, to tongues. I yield myself to discerning of spirit. Body, you will heal soul, you will heal body. Thank you for the anointing that is here already. I thank you for the authority. I'm not only gathered with power, but you have also placed authority here in this meeting. You have authorized this meeting in the spirit. You have caused me to see the meeting already, that I will play the scripts that you are written. Help me to join forces with those angels. Help me, guard me up, strengthen my heart. You will fill your cup with wine in the name of Jesus.
Come among you. Come among you. I'm come among you. Oh, among you. Descend me among you. Descend me among. Descend me in the midst of you. Descend me in the very midst of you. For I am in the midst of you. I'm come in the midst. I have come in the midst that I may be even the center of your worship. Even the center of your participation. Even the center of your engagement. Discern the mist. Discern the mist. Discern him who is among you. Even he who is come among you. Even he who walketh among you. for to also walk among you. Descend Libot, Yasinde, descend to Benti, descend Mutinet, descend with hosts. Descend with hosts is descend with hosts. Descend with many hosts, even many, many, many hosts, even an host also among you, even an host among you. Deli alumendo frefuoti askendo yote. Therefore, you must ensure your heart be riveted with fear. Be riveted with fear. Be riveted with fear. Oli atunemi oli fear. Omi tu take fear. Take in fear. Take in fear. Take in fear. Take it. Let it be a part of your heart. Inemutoniando, plate it upon your heart. Paste it upon your heart. Put it in the midst of your heart. Put it in your heart. Take my fear. Take my fear. Take my fear for to participate even on the meal. Even the meal that has been brought to you. Even the meal that has been ordained. Even for you to partake of. Even this day of my Father. Even of my Father. Even of my Father. Take fear. Take it. Take. Take it up. Take it in. Take it in. Take my fear. Take my fear. Take my fear. Take it in. Even as you discern me, even walking among you, even walking among you, even also walking and walking, walking and walking, even walking and walking. Therefore, keep your feet, keep your feet, keep your feet, keep your feet. Obodiande, observe the ordinances of fear, observe the ordinances of fear, for I am set for a walk even among you. Keep your feet, keep your feet, keep your heart, keep it from straying, keep it. For I'm among you. I'm among you. My sign is among you. My sign is in the midst of you. Say the Lord Jesus.
Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. When the eve was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Isaiah chapter 53. So Matthew was referencing Isaiah 53. So let's see Isaiah 53 reported what was quoted. So Matthew used the word infirmities and sicknesses. So let's see what Isaiah called infirmity and what is sicknesses. Isaiah 53 verse 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him smitten, stricken, and smitten of God, and afflicted. Then verse 5, which was that Matthew 8 that we read, 18 that we read. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his strife we are healed. So here, he was glaring that Matthew 8:18 took a burden in Isaiah 53 verse 4, and they took a face in verse 5. I don't know if you noticed that Matthew 8:17 is that they lifted a face in Isaiah 53 4a and lifted in Isaiah 53 verse 5b. So, because Matthew said, 8:17, he himself took our infirmity and our sicknesses. But when you read Isaiah 53, verse 4, say, surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow. Yeah, we did esteem in his meeting of God. Then verse 5, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripe we are healed. Let's see 1 Peter chapter 2. You know that both Matthew and Peter were followers of Jesus that became Jesus' disciples. And from Jesus' disciples, they became apostles of the Lamb. So let's see how Peter, which is the second witness in the New Testament, bore witness to that. Peter chapter 2 from verse 24. I want you to take note of this. Who his own self bore our sin, our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes. The word stripes means wounds. By whose stripes or by whose wounds you will heal. So, Isaiah 53, verse 4 again. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten. This was wounds. These were the stripes. So they connected the wounds and the stripes to two things. When they use the word bore our griefs, grief there, I know people can read this scripture and interpret it literally to grief. Maybe because people things that are traumatic happen. But it's beyond this. It can mean it, but it's beyond it. So, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him smitten of God. Smitten me was beaten. This was the striking. So that was how he received what stripes on his own body. I'm teaching building immunity. What? Total awareness. Our awesome spirit, soul, and body. Just last week, I started with body. Then I moved into spirit. I see the Lord also moving me. That's the same with this thing today. So, the word Jesus bore in his body. That is what 1 Peter 1, 24 says. Who is own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. I want you to see that why your body should not bear some things. Because the body of the Lord Jesus has bore things. So if those things are still present with your body, they are outlaw. Because he has bore it on his own body. So the first thing he bore is on his body are sins. I know when you read Isaiah chapter 53, the body of Jesus bore sin. But not just only the body of Jesus that bore sin. In that Isaiah 53, verse 10 and 11. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. Isaiah 4, they say, carry griefs and carry sorrows. I say it's not just that unfortunate, traumatic thing happened to a person, that he's beyond that. So look at that verse 10. Yet it has pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. So if you have my own kind of Bible, they put semicolon. Trying to explain what caused grief.
What caused the grief? Or to explain the manner of grief. That grief is not only that misfortune, situation happened to you in the physical. Maybe you lost your job. People had an accident. You lost your loved ones. Or somebody suffered something that is painful. Or you lost a lot of money in your business. Those things can cause grief. They can cause sorrow. But this is not the sorrow that Jesus bore. That's not the grief that Jesus bore on his body. Because I want to teach something. When we say that we have not an high priest that cannot be taught with the feeling of our infirmity, you must understand what they call those infirmities are. So you can see in that verse 10 that what is grief is this. He explains this. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for what? For sin. So you see that the grief that you can carry, you see that the grief he bore and the sorrows he carries are firstly sorrows of sin. Griefs of sin. You find that in the book of Corinthians, Paul was writing to the church of Corinthians. Paul was saying there was a brother that took his father's wife and was bringing his father's wife to church and was parading his father's wife and was using it to, he was preparing everybody in church with his sin. Paul said what was doing, you don't even find it in outside. Unbelievers don't do that. That a man will take the wife of his father while his father is still alive. His daddy was still alive. But maybe the daddy had other wives. And you know, maybe that was the one of the young, you know, Baba, or those that just have. And it's a Gentile, because one of the problems with Gentile churches, which are not Jew, is that they are into fornication and adultery. So he took the wife of his father. And he was a believer and was bringing his wife to the church. And all the pastors could not talk. Because I don't know what happened to those pastors and those elders. Maybe they too were compromised. I don't know. Because they too were doing some things that were not right. So you don't have authority. You lose authority when you don't live right as a leader. So they could not talk. All of them know. And Paul said, what he has done is evil. And that he expected them to have judged the matter. Or to have sent such a person out. They should send him away. If they caution, he does not hear. They should discipline. If he does not discipline, they should send him away out of their midst. That art, he said, is a leaven. That when you bring it to a committee of gospel, it will corrupt the whole people. It's like when you have one beans that have weevil and you put in the whole bag of beans, it will spoil everything. It will punch hole in every other beans. So take that one and carry it away. You know, pastor missus gave them instruction in the house. You know, about my people, when they buy tomato or they buy pepper, they only wash them and pack everything and bag them and bag their pieces and put them inside freezer. So he told them, okay, no. Or they buy sweet potato. He said, no. When you bring it, you put it on the ground and select those who are bad out. Because if those born are bad, their water has bacteria already, has infection. As that simple water spread on the ones that are clean, all of them will start getting rotten. Joker has also spread the same parable when he was teaching. He said, the kingdom of God will be likened to a man that cast his nets on the sea and had fishes. He said that fish will be bad and good. He said, and he sought out the bad and the good. He sought them out. Because if you keep the bad fish with the good, they will corrupt these good ones. And that's why you should never be a bad influence on brethren. In the church, if you are bad, if they think that they are warning you, for Holy Ghost is correcting you, elders are correcting you, people that are elderly women, elderly men are saying, my brother, this thing you are playing is not good. You should take it seriously. Because the element, and when those persons do, when you have a friend that has bad things, you should be very careful that you don't let it. The priest will say, bad or evil communication corrupt good manner. It will corrupt you. Be not be deceived. Evil communications. Communication there is not talking. Communication is the way you are living your life. That communication, you find it in the book of Philemon. It's communication. That the communication of your faith may be effectual. What's effectual? That it may have impact. Effectual meaning it can have impact. Your communication, the way you live your life, can have imprint on others. That's why you have to make sure. If the communication of your faith, the way you live the life of faith, should have impact on those that are around you. They become effectual. So what I'm saying here, that the issue there was sin. So Paul began to write to Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians. He said that they should judge that brother, they should discipline him, they should hand him over to Satan, that his flesh might be destroyed, but his spirit can be saved. Gave that instruction in 1 Corinthians 5. But later he came in 2 Corinthians. He said, "For I'm sorry that he make the whole church sorrow." He said, "But those sorrow is to lead to repentance. Repentance that you will not turn away from." That's why nobody that understands the gravity of sin that does not sorrow. It's not only when you fall in fornication. Oftentimes, why we don't change? Because you are not sorrow unto repentance. You can't repent if you are not sorrowing. So when they say, "For him said, bore our griefs and carry sorrows." You are not carrying sorrows primarily because you don't have money in your pocket. Oh, sorrow. That's not the sorrow of Jesus. It's not the sorrow of Joker. It's not that you are living in penury. That's not the sorrow of Jesus. The sorrow of Jesus is that people do not know the impact of sin on them. People don't know the impact of sin on your spirit. You don't know the impact of sin on your soul. You don't know the impact of sin on your body. Jesus can, because Jesus has stature. Jesus has age. When I say that, he has age in the spirit. He knows it. So Jesus was sinless. But immediately they put sin on his body, and they make his soul a sin offering. Sorrow that should accompany a man with sin fell on him. Grief that every man that has sin, the man of grief, that if you have sin, the man of grief you should have. Jokai particularly, because he's a man that know what it means not to be without sin. But he know what it means for a body to be without sin. He knew what it means for a soul to be without sin. And when you have it, what sin brings? Sin brings griefs. Sin brings sorrows. But many people don't have sorrow of sin. That's why they are still enjoying sin. And that is the painful part. That is why men are not repenting. Because Satan has dulled our soul. Satan has dulled all of our spiritual senses. That you can exaggerate. And you say, "Just have wisdom." You call exaggeration, which is a sin, as wisdom. To you, it's a wisdom. But that wisdom, so that you can come out of trouble, or so that you can escape punishment, or so that, or yeah, no matter the kind of reason. Because, and you do it, and you walk away. There is no sorrow that I have done this thing. There's no grief in you. Do you imagine a man that have lived his life 33 years and a half without sin? And because it's supposed to be an offering for sin, they make sure that it carries sin in the body, because sin is in the body. Or sin was in the body of everyone that was that. What our parents prepared us was his body of sin. God gave us spirit and soul. So there's a sorrow of sin and the grief of sin that Jesus knows. When I used to be a member of a particular denomination, the song we used to sing it, if you are, it's not only our church, if you are from that, those manner of movement, you will understand this song. They will just sing, "Nobody knows the sorrow of being. Nobody knows but Jesus. Nobody knows. Nobody knows the sorrows of sin but Jesus. Nobody knows the grief of sin but like Jesus. Nobody knows the sorrows, because we don't have the senses of sorrows and grief of sin." So Jesus tested it. Peter said it. Say, who his own self bore our sin in his own body on the tree. Before the guys arrived on the tree, he doesn't have sin. Anyway, he was, maybe they hung him on that tree. Heaven transferred the sin of everybody on him. Heaven transferred sin on his body. They transferred sin on his soul. That they transferred sin on his spirit. Look at Galatians 3:3. "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for all. For it is a curse every man that is hung on a tree. So Jesus understood sorrows that should come with a man that has sins, a man that has iniquity, and a man with transgressor. When you read Book of Psalm and also Isaiah, it said the sorrows and the pangs. Some version call it the pains, the pain, the sorrows of sin and the pain. But you find it in Book of Psalm, you also find it in Book of Isaiah. The sorrows of death encompass me. That's sorrows. The pain, there are grief of air. I've got to hold upon me. I find trouble and sorrow. We don't have this because we don't have the sense for it. Because, you know, when we do things, Satan numb our senses. We have used sin so much that, you see, I can tell you, you know, I don't know how sorrowful Adam and Eve, they live all their life on it. I'm so sure that Adam and Eve, they have sorrow all through their lifetime. I can tell you that Eve has sorrow. Oftentimes, when people quote the scripture, where they say that maybe God caused Eve, say, Eve, in pain, you will agree, but people think that the pain is pain of travail. No. The pain of travail means you mean for my loins. I'll be giving birth to something that sheer in fallen nature. The pain, you see, you can interpret those scriptures literally. The pain of a woman is not the pain. It beyond, though there now there's physical pain. But even though there are some people who have used faith to numb the pain of childbirth, physical pain of childbirth, those who exercise faith, that they minimize their pain. The pain of Genesis was beyond the pain because as at this time around, if I've not had a child, yeah. I feel like it's more than, it may be part of it, but I feel it's more than, because we have had testimony of contemporary witnesses. I also know the contemporary witnesses, also Hebrew women in Egypt. Before me, we know everything, they don't born. Yes, they said their birth was so fast. They were not in labor or pain. So you would say that cause is not fulfilling in Egypt. And they were in Egypt. Not in the land of promise. So to me, based on those things, I have a witness that pain that we're talking about. So I feel that it's more than pain. It has to do with pain. That what is coming from me, I'm going to give them a body that is already corrupt. Adam and Eve, they have sorrow throughout their lifetime on it. Imagine you, as you are holding, you see your firstborn, kill your secondborn. Cain, kill Abel. You think, that is enough for a father to go and die, or a mother. And every time they see that thing, they will remember, it is our disobedience. Something that we disobey that transferred this thing to these children. But every time a husband becomes aggressive with his wife, you don't have sorrow. Because you don't know the gravity of that thing. Because what Cain showed to Abel was aggression. So husband can be aggressive to his wife without knowing that aggression is a sin. That those things are sorrows of sin. You are supposed to have that sorrow. You don't just walk away or just go and buy a gift in supermarket and give it, and you feel that the gift has covered your sin. So Adam, Eve, and I want to believe that those sons of Adam, they are the gravity or sorrows of sin and grief that death is at work in their body, their soul, and their spirit. Because senses, we are still intact. So you can see that. So when it's saying that, he's despised and rejected of men. Verse 3 of that Isaiah 53. Is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows. A man of sorrows. And acquainted with grief. Why am I saying this? Sorrow in the context of scripture. When you get to Isaiah, when you see sorrow, pain, crying, they don't connect it majorly to physical misfortune. You see Book of Revelation chapter 21. This Revelation 21, the present heavens and present earth has passed away.
The present heaven and the present earth has passed away. There was no more sorrow.
So, as I said, you consider, say, God, the tabernacle of God, what tabernacle of God? The dwelling of God is going to be in the midst of people. God will walk with them. God will dwell with them. Imagine, God is in a place. God is, the tabernacle of God is in a place. God is dwelling in a place. God is walking in a place. Old heaven and old earth has passed away. Then verse 4. That's not that God is in their midst. Old heaven and earth has passed away. God was still dealing with something. Please, I don't know if you notice something there. They usually were sha. That means, as at this new heaven, the thing has not yet taken place. It's still ahead. Why God came and missed them is to do some work. And by the time he's doing, God will be taking care of these things. So even when heaven and earth has passed away, as at this time around, there was no God, Satan. They have taken Satan and cast Satan to the lake of fire in chapter 21. They cast Satan in the lake of fire as in Revelation 20. That's where they cast Satan into the bottomless pit. And the first prophet they have cast over them, Antichrist. So there was still sorrow. There was still pain, which is griefs. And God was there. And this pain, sorrows, death was bore by Jesus. That's what I wanted you to see. So I don't want you to know that it's not only outward that has sorrow. Or your biological heart can have sorrow. So you remember Nehemiah. Nehemiah was the king wine cupbearer, the king in the province. And he came to serve the king wine. The king noticed that his countenance was sad, seeing that thou art. Look at it. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Asteras, the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I have not been before time sat in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing that are not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. So a body can have sorrow. Yes, a heart can have sorrow. Yes, a mind can have sorrow. And your spirit can have sorrow. So sorrow is not just external. That's what I wanted to establish quickly. So when they said Jesus, in that verse 3 of Isaiah 53, who is said, bore, he's a man, he's despised, rejected of man, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We are, look at this. And this is true. What made Jesus grieving and sorrowful is not what he himself did, though. It's what they lay on him. He said, but we eat as we wear our faces from him. It's not the one that wants the sorrow. It's not the one that wants the grief. We that we are the real now, the grief. We eat our faces from him. For he was despised. And we esteem him not. Surely. So what causing the sorrow? What causes the grief? Then verse 4 now explains. That really he's not the one. Surely he abhorred our grief. The grief that he was acquainted with was our griefs. The sorrow that he was acquainted with is our sorrow. Yes, but the people that own the sorrow, they are not bearing it. They don't even know the sorrows. They just said, I know, I've offended. Oh, God, just forgive me. Or in the Old Testament, they just to carry animal and carry it to the temple. Hello? Judas. Or in 21st century, you do something, you just go. You just go to your pastor, overseer pastor. Go to Pastor Peter. Say, Daddy, I want to see you. You lead them. And just be like this. Daddy, I want to say that I masturbate. That is not sorrow. You know, in the Old Testament, people carry animal. But yeah, you just, and you felt that the confession you have done has kept out for the sorrow of sin and the grief of sin. Those two take relationship to extreme. They don't know. They felt that because they have leaned down. The leaned down is the sacrifice now that I've done. In the Old Testament, they carry animal, but the sacrifice, they are leaned down. Your leaned down is your sacrifice now. And you felt because you are talking. But You don't bear the sorrow of it. You don't bear the grief of it. So you cannot activate process of genuine repentance. And that genuine repentance is required for healing. That's what he said in Matthew 13. And I should forgive their sin, and I should heal them, and they should be converted. They talk about forgive their sin, heal them, and be converted. The process connect, they follow each other. Their sin will not be forgive their sin. I will forgive them and heal them. So the process is to forgive. But you cannot be forgive. That forgive, before God, he said, you will turn. So that turning is repenting. Repentance is turning. It's to turn. So, brother, we heal our sin like Adam and Eve did in the garden. They went to go and heal themselves. Say, where are your first broken? And went to heal ourselves. So they heal themselves. So also, we also heal ourselves. Yeah. Surely I bore our grief and carry our sorrow. Yeah, we did esteem it smitten. Smitten of God. And afflicted. Then verse 5. But he was wounded. So I use the word wounded there. Is to be smitten. So that's stricken and smitten of God. And afflicted. So this process, we are what Jesus climaxed this thing on the tree. Look, I came into the fullness on this because we read both in 1 Peter 2 and also we also read it from what? Galatians 3:13. So look, I climaxed that thing. So both in Matthew, in Peter, he said, himself bore on his own body our sins. Then in Isaiah 3:10, they said, yeah, he pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief when that made his soul an offering for sin. So I just want to see that. The body of Jesus Christ was made sin. His soul of Jesus Christ was made sin. So it was not just, some people say, the sacrifice of sin that Jesus Christ bore was only his body. No. The body of Jesus carried sins. The soul of Jesus Christ was made sin. They made it. Because the soul of Jesus Christ was sin. His body was not. They made him. And that sin was your sin and my sins. And when they made Jesus Christ sin, Jesus Christ's soul was made sin. Not only that they carry the acts that you do. A-C-T-S. It's not the actions of sin. Jesus carried the law of sin. Jesus carried the nature of sin. Jesus carried the life of sin. But before that cross, Jesus Christ does not have the law of sin in him. In Romans chapter 8, this is how they render it. They say he was made in the likeness. Jesus, so before he went to the cross, had everlasting life already. Jesus Christ said it. He said it. He said, as the Father have life, so you are giving me to have life in myself and to give life. And you can't give what you don't have in abundance. Can you give what you don't have in abundance?
Yes, sir.
You remember the five wise virgins now? The five virgins said, "Sas, Amma, go out and buy your own. So that what we have, so that it's not sufficient for both of us. So that they don't yet have oil in excess yet. That's why they don't share. Charity, because they are charity people, but charity will not allow them to share because they don't yet have in abundance yet. But Joker says, as the Father had life, so I give it to me, meaning that Joker, by the time that Joker was writing in John 5, Joker has life in abundance. He can give. He can start giving life. He has it in abundance. And if you have life in abundance, me, Joker has everlasting life. Because it's only when you have everlasting life that you say you have life in abundance. When you have Christ as a life, you don't have yet have in abundance. Christ's life is only that you have a life that's abiding. But God does not only want you to abide. The priest, my case high priest, he abided and continued forever. Abided and continued forever. Those are the two things. Because those were how he ministered the immunity. So Jesus can say it was made. Jesus was already having life in his spirit and soul. His soul was, his spirit was already dead. But They have not only brought for sealing on Jesus. That's why he could still be tempted even when he was hanging on the tree. But when you talk about his soul being healthy, his soul has come to total awareness. His soul, what he never see, and has come into awesome spirit, awesome soul. But they need to boost in on that awesome soul. But they raised it to tell you that it's possible for you to become awesome. Amen. In your spirit, soul, and body. Amen. But so they made the body of Jesus Christ sin. They made his soul sin. And they also make his spirit also sin. Yes, the spirit of Jesus Christ also died. Because, how do I know? Because Jesus Christ cried unto your father, commit I my spirit. Yeah, when the spirit was when they put sin on him, he had to make sure that I commit this thing to you. That was what Paul was teaching in 2 Timothy chapter 1. I know whom I believe. Jesus Christ was exercising believing. Believe in God. Believe also in me. That was Jesus Christ was exercising his belief, his faith in God. Because Psalm render it, David said, can you remember the dead? So when sin takes spirit, sin don't let it go. When death undo spirits, and so you know they take from them. In Psalm 16, David had to offer prayer that will not leave the soul like servant in air. Now shall you allow your brother to see corruption. Also, many times, severally in that Isaiah that I said, eyes of air, pants of death have heard me. When sin and death, when they hold spirit soul, then deliver. So Jesus has to say, unto you, God, I commit my spirit. As my spirit is being taken. Because my spirit is about to be taken to air. My soul is being taken by sin to air. Because air, H-E-L-L, is the home of sin. That's why every angel that sin, they cast them to air. God created air for sin incarnate. I didn't say those who sin. What did I say?
Sin incarnate.
When you are a sin incarnate as sinners. Wow. Isaiah 53. For he was in prison with sinners. He make his own. 53:8. Want to go, everybody? Want to go? Take it from prison and from judgment. Who shall deliver his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. Okay, you have to go. He made grace with the wicked and with riches in his death. When he said make his own wheat. So I just wanted to see that Jesus, and when he used your sinners there, they're not just talking about sinners of men. They are talking about fallen spirit that they cast to her. So the spirit and the soul of Jesus Christ became sin. And so Jesus knew the sorrow, the pain of sin. That you today, you sin and you have sin nature in you. You don't have sorrow with it. And some people will explain the scripture that because you have borne my sorrow, I don't need to carry it. No. If he doesn't want to carry it, he will not talk to Corinthian church that they should sorrow unto repentance. Look at it. 2 Corinthians 7:10. For God is sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but sorrow of the world worketh death. So he showed that when you are not believer, there's a sorrow of death. So it's glaring here that what Matthew 8:17 call infirmities. Say infirmities. In that Matthew, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he said, took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So please, take note of it. So what he called infirmity by what I've taught so far is the fact of what? It's vato sins. But that, so he's talking about sins. So infirmity is called sins. Sins, iniquity, transgression. They are in the world of infirmities and sicknesses. So give me Hebrews chapter 4 and Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 4. Look at it, everybody. See that we have a great high priest that is passed into heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our perfection. We have not an high priest who cannot be taught with the feeling of our infirmity. So what he called the feeling, what is the feeling? So you can have sorrow as a feeling. The feeling. When I told you, I said, it's only Adam and Eve that know the feeling of sin. We don't feel it. We sin without feeling sin. And that's why the high priest will never start ministering to you. That's why the ministry of high priest of Jesus don't start until when he went to heaven. Or his advocacy don't start to heaven. And the high priest will not come the second time to you until they have awakened your senses of feeling. That's why the first ministry you need to get a letter of Kiraka is that they will give you the meek of the word. They will train you for the word. And they will train you after you have grown, you become a child in Christ. A child in Christ. And the big spiritual meat, which is teaching of the doctrine of Christ. Church of Christ is to grow you until when you can will grow you, where you can have your senses exercised, where you can have feeling of your infirmities. Nothing bring the great physician without men that have feelings of their infirmities. You cannot command the ministry of Jesus. That's the burden of this. That's why it is the duty of every minister of the gospel and every believer to use, to profit with the meek of the word and to profit with the meat of the word so that your senses can be exercised and your senses exercised that they will wake up the feeling of your soul. Because it is not just your mouth that should be crying. Romans, you find that in Romans 8. Paul said, we even ourselves that are the first fruit of the Spirit. First fruit of the Spirit, dear, mean we have produced the first fruit of the Spirit. First, we now have fruit of the Spirit as a man that has produced Christ. We have the fruit of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. First, we have the first fruit of the Spirit, the first fruit of it. We are first fruit of Christ, which means we have used Christ. We also grow in our body. Because you can never receive redemption of your body. Redemption of your body is not resurrection. To redeem you. That's it. Why redemption? That's happened to your soul. Should also happen to your body. Before your resurrection body. You will not know that you need redemption in your body. Without you producing first fruit first. Because it is in your producing of your first fruit. Which is the awakening of the feeling of your senses. Of your inward man. That will be to tell you, boy. That you have stopped manifesting the works of the flesh. And that you have stopped some things by reason of the washing of the water by the word and by the leading and suggestion of the Spirit. That is not sufficient. There are infirmities that it's a people that have senses. So that it is people that, there's some people that it is those who they have opened their eyes that can know some sin. So they open your eyes so that you can see through the opening of the eyes. Likewise, it is those who have feelings that have opened through the midst of the world that can begin to receive the ministry of the great physician, who is the great high priest. So I cannot grow like Paul. I can't carry Isaiah chapter 8 and say, even we are saying in our body, we grow. You don't have what it grow. That groaning is a feeling that those who are produced for fruit of the Spirit, that thing is an harvest that produced for fruit of the Spirit that now command their death to the next phase of the work. So that feeling is not that, well, we are not happy that can be told with fear of my even if I fornicate, my Jesus Christ fornicate. No, that's not what they're saying. Oh boy, don't quote Bible. Don't do that. You can't call me fear of commission. No, for we have not a happy that can be told with my fear of my infirmity. Oh boy, you are just reciting scripture. You are using your common mind to interpret that thing. Those who can have fear of infirmity is those who can cry, those who can groan, those who carry, no, those who know the pain. Whenever they transgress, they have the pain. They know the pain. They know how Jesus is grieved. They know how the Father is grieved. They know how they have grieved the Holy Ghost. You have Holy Ghost in your temple. You can still sin. You do things and you are not grieved. Holy Ghost is grieved, but you are not grieved. Every time you disobey God, Holy Ghost grieves. Because Holy Ghost knows that you have caused pain to Father. Holy Ghost knows that you have caused pain. Holy Ghost knows that you have broken the heart of the Father. Holy Ghost knows you have broken the heart of Jesus. But you only go to your knee and say, Jesus, come beside your bed. Jesus Christ, you see. Oh my God. And I remember, as you're doing, you carry your phone. And scroll, who call me? Okay, I will call you back later. Or you click on yes, I'm praying. So you can see on seriousness. You can see that why we allow distraction, because we don't carry feelings. Jesus knew the sorrow of death. That's why Jokers were already, they were already transferring the valor load of sin on Jesus when he was praying in Gethsemane. He came to wake them twice. He said, Why are you not sorrowing? This thing, Jesus Christ knew, because the Father was already transferring the weight of that thing. You see, one of the things you must do, you see, you will not desire growth. For you to be able to come into some things quickly, or for you to receive freedom from something quickly, so that you can move to the next level of God's work in your life, you waste time. A man can waste time in his life because you think, and you are not doing what's for the flesh. You think that, okay, you don't know what is called infirmities. Because you can't feel it. You are numbed. Your soul is numbed. Or your senses are numbed. What I'm teaching, this is what it means. Until they have restored the feeling of infirmity to you, you are not totally well yet. And you are not yet wholesome yet. That's why it's not wholesome. Because I'm teaching building healthy immunity. Total awareness and awesomeness. How you know a soul is already attaining awesomeness is that he can grieve. Yes, sir. Go to that Corinthian. When they reported the issue to them in Corinthian church, he said, I wish you are grief and more. For what this brother has cost me. He said, for what he has cost. Paul said, that brother, what he did, he cost me. It's not Paul that did it. He said, this sorrow and the thing has cost me. Okay, look at this. For you to see, when he said, for he's a man acquitted with grief, a man of sorrow. Look at this. Want to go to the second Corinthians? As I wrote the same unto you, lest when I come, I shall have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice. But I mean, what did an apostle say? I can come around and see your disorderliness. I can see the way you are a transgressor. What's a transgressor? You are breaking laws. You are breaking laws, and you can come to church and come and lift up holy hands. But an apostle come and see your order. Ah, things are here. These people have not received the ministry of reconciliation enough. They've not received the ministry of forgiveness of sin, remission of sin, because they can't see it. I shall have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice. Because what makes me to rejoice? You find, if you want to have answer to that, you find out in Second John and Third John. I was glad when I, elect lady, that I see your children walk. I rejoice that I see your children walking in truth. So if you are not walking in truth, you are walking in falsehood, or you are walking in lie. Eh? Instead of rejoicing, you cause sorrow. Apostle and Father of Faith, they have light. They go to some churches and say, these churches is make my heart rejoice. And they get to some churches, they say that those churches are make them sorrowful. But the church that is making them sorrowful, they are not sorrowful. But because those apostles have grown, they have age. They are senses develop. What they are doing? You know, let me explain to you in a physical sense. Every father, every parent want their children to be responsible. There's nothing that can give a mother, especially women, our mothers, concern when you expect your child to be responsible to do some things, and you are the one telling him to do things that you know he should do. If you want to be conservative, you don't want to be disrespectful, because it's already become a thing. You don't want to break the spirit. Over time, you resort to prayer. And once in a while, you call. You shouldn't have done this thing. Because you expect that by now, you should know. So, you know the kind of pain that will happen to your soul. That will happen to the parent or the mother's heart. That this child is supposed not to know that by now, you're supposed to, that this is not to be doing it, or you're supposed to do it. Your child comes to ask you for money or comes to ask you for something. You know, say, with everything I've been doing, I pay your school fees, I've done this, and this kind of thing you have come to come ask me. You know, You want to be nice because you don't want to offend God. Just say, please, God, just go. Just go. Just go. Just go. Just go. You want me to commit sin? Just go. Just go. God, you don't want to raise your voice. Just go. The door, please. Just pass the door and go. And close the door gently behind you. You know, the pain that you know. That pain. You know, we parents, you have it. Sometimes at different measures, we have it. That pain. We know it, but we don't know the pain when we fall short of God's restoration. But no, that you are the one pain. No, that child is not pain. He's not pain now. You are the one. We parents, your parents have the pain. That we parents, you are the one. Because he does not have it. He will take another 20 years when he starts having children. Sometimes if we do something, children will do something, we just call himself in shame. He now realizes, I cannot imagine. I was misbehaving. He will not be covered in shame. So you don't have the feeling of infirmities if you have not have enough spiritual growth. And what is responsible for enough spiritual growth is the milk of the word and the meat of the word, the doctrine of Christ. That's about to arrive, bring a people into that. So, 2 Corinthians 2, 3, 4. I wrote this same thing unto you, lest when I come, I should ask sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice. Every desire of every father and mother is to rejoice. You want to carry your agbada, your sneaker, depending as a millennial. And you are coming, and you want to go, you know, millennial, we wear sneaker, they wear their jean and their polo, maybe they put on some jacket. But you know, that is going for it. That we really wear agbada or that shit. You know, that's what the generation. So they are going to the school of their children. Because that thing is to go and collect results, it's rejoicing. So imagine, because you want to go and receive a scorecard. But you know, it's not every scorecard you want to go and receive. Because you know, scorecard that have FFF and have red Bible everywhere. That will give you sorrow of heart. Or narrow escape. D8. You know the kind of sorrow that feel. Because why? The person is falling short. Let me say, for all our sin, I'm falling short. We don't know the pain when you go to collect the way a fair and fee. We don't, when we fall short, when we transgress, we don't have that pain. And why? God knows. God is not angry. God knows that because our senses, our feeling have not been developed. If I wrote this sentence unto lest when I come, I should have sorrow from of them, or when I ought to rejoice. I have in confidence in you that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. This is a father. He has anguish of heart. He has tears. Not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly to unto you. For if any have caused grief, so when the Savior Christ is acquitted with grief, they curse him. If any has caused grief. So some people in Corinthian church cause Paul grief. Those who want to cause Paul to have joy, rejoicing. That was grief they caused him. But if any have caused grief, he had not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a one is this punishment, which was inflicted on many. So that, contrary, you all had that to forgive him. So you can see that there can never be forgiveness until you carry some grief. That's what I'm saying. So he connected that the person that caused grief, that people are punishing. So when they say the body of Joker carries sin, the soul of Joker carries sin, those things were punishment. This is the same thing that Paul was saying. After Paul wrote to them, 1 Corinthians 5:15, everybody went back to church to go and deal with that. By the time you are the one that make a pot, right? The way they descended on Abraham. He said they are punished. Many are punished him. They saw that Paul, as a father, wrote out of grief. That first letter was written out of grief, out of pain, or pain of sin. How can you allow this kind of thing? How can this kind of thing? Because I've taught you for 2 years and a half. What this guy have done should never be done by anybody that has sat under me and hear what for 2.5 years. So it was from that pain he wrote the First Corinthians. Labor of 2.5 years, teaching day and night. Imagine, Paul will teach day and night. Paul, during the afternoon, Paul will go to work because he wrote them. He said, for this man can write there for me and those who are with me. So he does physical work. And he will preach in the morning, he will preach in the night. He was working so that he can support himself and people that travel with him. And somebody now came to the church that an apostle of labor and working and preaching. Paul wrote that first letter. And all the brethren decided to punish the brother that made Paul to write that kind of funny letter to them. They punished that brother. But not physically, they told first of all, say, they gave him black bench at the end of the church. But we don't do that in this church. We don't have black bench, but we have red bench. But that's why we see you that you are not doing well in the spirit, and we tell you don't do anything in church, just sit down. Because what is important to a pastor first is the prosperity of your soul, is the be healthy, beware. That is the job of a pastor. A pastor is good when you throw in his microphone for him, he's happy. But don't do microphone. If what you can do is that you are living well, husband and wife, you are taking care of, husband is taking care of their wife. Wife is living well with her husband. They are not fighting. There's nothing that gives a pastor. If every time you call a pastor, I don't tell you, I don't give him red eyes. So Paul had to now write 2 Corinthians. After I have brought in 1 Corinthians 5, that letter, he said the person causing grief. Sorrow. Because that sorrow was not because her. It's not because Paul has prayed. It's that you should not do this thing. Sorrow of sin. Because he has what it means. It's some feeling that has been developed. He knows the impact of that thing on the person. Firstly, on the person. And much more, the impact of that evil communication in the assembly. In the assembly of elect. If a brother borrow you money to do business, or you do business with your brother and you agree 50-50, but when the thing came out, you decided to carry the whole thing away, or you had to give 10%. And because it's your brother, he did not sign any document with you. He called, he be that yea, your yea should be your yea, and your name should be name. When my money now came in, you are now smart, and the name bring the case to pastor. You know, there's something that, you know, when the pastor comes, bring daddy, you know, just my two children. Daddy, he took my toy. There are two elderly people that brought money to do with masseuse upon their daddy. Yes, it's my money. When we started doing the business, if I wasn't, I did the pro forma invoice. I was the one that wrote the email. I said, okay, what is the issue? And we saw we are going to share the profit 50-50. No. We said 50-50. I was the one that had the connection. I was the one that brought this thing. I was the one that did the work. I was the one that was going. You see, those things to a pastor is grief in the spirit. And not only the Holy Ghost is also grief. No. Holy Ghost saw that in the New Testament, that you are Holy Ghost expected by meek of the world, you should have to be of me of honest reports. Yes. Because sometimes you look at a matter. Some matter happened. Maybe they bring the truth. So people say, hey, I'm the one. I'm not, I didn't do that. That's okay. I believe both of you because who can you be? You have to believe both of them. Because love believe all things. You must believe both of them. Somebody say, Daddy, I didn't say that. He said this. He didn't say that. Okay. I believe you. Somebody wrote something to me and said, and this thing, he said, you started thinking of me like this. I said, it's a pity, don't know me. I don't think like you like that. I said, I don't think like that. I said, the position, when you're a man of authority, you must believe the best of all men at all times. Even when people have done something wrong. Jesus Christ told Judas Iscariot, I know he was a thief. Jesus Christ, I said, for Jesus Christ, he knew was from the beginning. Jesus Christ didn't start stealing. In the second year of ministry, from the beginning, he had been a thief, but God has chosen. Because that's how God does things. God does not choose because of competence. Leadership is honor of God in your life. It's not because you are best, it's not because you are excellent, it's not because you are good. God entrusts leadership to you, peradventure, so that you can have proxy to Him, so that He can work on you. That's why God chooses that. God does not choose that because you are already good. God will choose you because God wants you to be more close. so that he can correct you and show you so you can grow out of your weakness. It's not because you are bad. It's not because you are good. That's why those who see leaders that mess up and angry, God don't give leadership responsibility to people because they are good. God give them leadership responsibility. God wants them to be, it's an honor. Be close to me and let us work together to help you, to improve you and grow you out of your weakness. If you don't see like that, you're only going to be offended with your leaders. So I said, I don't think like that. After Jacob knew that Jesus was stealing the money, he knew that Jacob had collected 30 pieces of silver to sell him. When he came back to kiss him, he said, friend, someone that had been stealing your money, someone that was angry at the time, a woman took her own money to go and buy oil, not your money, and broke it upon your feet. And he said, Jacob was angry out of the 12, that this thing can be sold and be given to the poor. Jacob said, for you have followed me. As Joker said, for he know it. It's not because he cared for the poor, but because he wanted to steal that money. Joker never said at once. And he also came to, he kissed Joker after he collected 30 pieces of silver. Joker said, friend, betray me with a kiss? Joker was still seen as a friend, even when he has collected money to sell him. That is the standard requirement for every leader. It's a standard for every leader. Even when you know somebody messing up, you must not use that lens to relate with them. You must not. You must keep loving them. Because it's in loving them that redemption will be given. You must love them, but you must hate those traits inside of them. You hate the trait, you hate those habits, you hate those nature, but you must love their person. I must demonstrate it by loving them. When you don't love them, you are breaking an edge. They will not change from that thing. Because you are also joining forces with God. God's working on them. Holy Ghost is working on them. So for them to be further convicted is one way is you loving them. Sometimes if you know that you are injurious to people, you quarantine them. But you keep loving them where you quarantine them. So that the sin does not spread. So having love is own to death. So he loved him. So he said, seeing that I'm reading from Hebrew. So we have not an high priest that can be taught with the vanity. So he used the word. For we have not an high priest which cannot be taught with the feeling. So I've said that the feeling that not everybody can have the feeling. The feeling of infirmity, that means you cannot have the sorrow. You cannot have the grief. You cannot have the pain of sin. But was in our point tempted like as we are. The way you are being tempted. Joker also went with those temptations. You think that you're the only one that know you. If you're a young man, you are the only one that have the temptation to see Bakasi. Joker was tempted because there are some girls in Israel that have this issue. You think that you're the one that can be tempted with money. You think that you're the one that can be tempted with position, want to be greater. You think that you're the only one that can be tempted by not submitting to authority. You think that you're the one that can be tempted to want to do things in your own way. Joker wanted to be do this in his own way. If at the time he said, Father, take this cup away.
Yes, sir.
He wanted to go his own way. I don't want to die. I don't want to go to the cross. I've come. If it's all about it, to come and live, I was a man. I was tempted with sin. I didn't sin. That's enough for them. If they can't learn with the example of living, leave them. They will not. You know, we said that. I can't come here. I can't come and die for anybody. I can't come and kill myself. Joker was tempted with that way. I can't come and kill myself. What do you make I do? It's not the one. Joker was tempted like that too. Don't think what I go do for them. I was a god. I took on the form of a man. And when I become a man, I was not a man that was a man of heaven like angel. I took the list of the man, who is a man of the earth, a man with dust. I could have been a man of the heaven like Gabriel, the man Michael. But I became the list of the man. And when I became a man, I now went further to become a servant.
Oh.
You don't even do me the honor. The first man that was created, you saw me the second leader. The first leader was made as a man, a full grown man. Me, you make me as a baby.
Car.
You are even carrying me up and down. This was God, though. If after what I've done, they will not hear. They know if you hear. You know, that was the conclusion of Abraham. When the rich man asked him, say, can you tell Lazarus to put water? Father Abraham answered, he can't come here. You are still thinking that you're still a beggar. The way you was a beggar, one of them, you can't come more. Because Father Abraham doesn't have perfect judgment. But it's only from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he was tempted at all points. At all points. Your temptation you are going to Joker was tempted like that. Joker was tempted many times. There was one time Joker didn't have money. You don't have money sometimes. And you feel that maybe you can just do some sharp, sharp runs. There are just the way sometimes you do some prayer and they don't answer your prayer. There's some prayers you guys also pray that they didn't answer.
Wow.
Not all the prayers you guys pray. Let's take this cup away from you. You didn't answer that prayer. Not every prayer they answer for Jesus. Listen, what you guys wanted that he doesn't want to die. If God can do that for him. So Jokai has some prayer, he prayed and God didn't answer. Because he knew that God would not answer it. It's not because God no. And there's a way that because God has so much favor with God, I say, maybe God can just will push God. God will answer it the way God did the children of Israel. But every time God answers what is not the way, he will send linear to your soul.
Yeah.
Your soul will not grow fast, your soul becoming lean. The disease that God wants to cure will start eating you up. So we can see that. We have not an IP that have been covered with a feeling of infirmity. I've thought about that feeling is senses. That senses for groaning, senses of pain, senses for a man. I have some experiences. So one of the things the brother told me to pray. Because the background I came from is a background I believe. So he told me that. When I used to fall, he now told me I need to start praying on prayer. He said, this is what prayer he pray. That the Lord will put fear in my heart. That anytime I want to do anything that is wrong, or I think something is wrong, that there will experience something heavy on my heart. I started praying that prayer. This time came, I almost have a heart attack. I'm not joking. I was under that thing. He called it, he said, God should give to me the torment. Say, pray for the torment. Torments of it, that you have a torment whenever you disobey God. And what we are just praying for was just sin, evident manifest work of sin that I was talking with. If I lie or I did say things true, it will be as if they drop a whole 100 bag of cement in my heart. Boom! By the time I finish saying that thing, I was under that weight. For months. He told me, he said, you will never stop some of this thing you are doing until you have torment. He said, it's only torment. So, why we do things and we give excuses for them? Or even things that we don't even know. I'm talking about feeling. Where is all the work I were feeling? You know, you feel hungry. When you're hungry, you feel it in your stomach. That's how you should feel too. When you disobey God. When you don't do the will of God, you should feel it.
Yes, sir.
But sin and death have taken away those things from us. That's part of what they should restitute. They should restore back. In the time of restitution, they must restore those things back to the soul. Those are things that the soul, those are benefits that you should restore back to the soul. Those are signs that the soul is healthy. You see, I husband and wife, you fight and you are sleeping. You are not even afraid that you can die in the middle of your night. You know, me, I don't have that heart. I don't have that. So keep my little the next morning. Yeah, casa. I know that actually will happen in the middle of the night. I know that. Based on knowledge and light. But I have enough spiritual sense to know that the kind of demon that will come and oppress me. What am I trying to say? I'm saying that there are feeling that requires heart, grief, sorrow as a result of development. And it's a sign that a soul is healthy. I was talking about something that husband, go to bed. Every time when in the early of our marriage that I'm not happy with my wife, I'll be tossing on the bed. I won't be able to sleep. I will not be restful. You see, I will not be tossing on the bed. Some people, they just finish fighting their wife. They go back on the bed. 10 minutes that they are snoring. And they are changing gear. Me, I cannot sleep. My eyes will be clear. No matter how I am, I will toss on the bed. Knowing that alone will not allow me to want trouble. That weight alone, the kind of weight that will be on me, I just want to make peace in marriage. Because I know that I will not sleep. And tonight, once again, I'm not a deep sleeper before. If you open the door, if I'm sleeping, I will wake up. So, to now, I have to wait to sleep with it. Ah, that's double torment. But some people, husband can sleep with bitterness with their wife. You see, what is not making that body to sleep? It's like, it's almost the same thing that if you mistakenly have food that is poison, that your stomach will be rumbling. You know, your stomach is... That same weight can be carried when you disobey God. The way you take poison, or you take poison, and your stomach is rumbling, is the same way, when you disobey God, your flesh can carry the weight of your disobedience. I'm talking about feelings of affirmation. Which, those things are necessary. It's a show that you are heady. It's a show that this thing is heady. That because you should not be. You should never be comfortable when you are killing malice. You should not be comfortable when you have God and you are continuing to say there's nothing like that that happened. It's a sign that you are sick. You are unheady. No, those kind of things are common in your life. When somebody offends you, you can't take it. You want to go, you want to sleep at that thing, eat your heart. You want to make peace with your husband. It's a sign that they are restoring back total awareness to your soul. It's a sign of earth. It's a sign of being heady. It's a sign that they are already restoring back what the enemy stole away from her. The thief coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It's a sign that life is gradually returning back to a man. You speak harshly to somebody and you lost your peace. It's a sign of awareness. You treated somebody unkindly and you start feeling, you are not feeling kind. It's a sign of hurt. It's a sign that gradually, you are not yet total, but it's a sign that you are becoming aware. It's a sign that you are already becoming aware. It's a sign of being aware. When they say it is aware with my soul, that is our soul that are aware, behave. Those are signs of being ahead. You see, and so you start to grow in head from what's of the flesh. You have things that you should never do. That's how people stop. And when I was mission field outside the country, that brother used to drive truck in Germany. So he left Germany and came to UK, where I was doing mission work. So he still smoke. When I'm preaching, he will walk out to go and drink his smoke. I will come back to church. And me, I don't say you're going to go to Lake of Fire, because I know that if you're born again, smoking will not carry to Lake of Fire. Another man says you to smoke. It's damaging your body, and your body does not belong to you. Your body is the temple of Holy Ghost. I will say, whosoever destroys God, you are trying to destroy the temple. God said, God will destroy you. Not me, God will destroy you. He will destroy you. Amen. Holy Ghost will make sure they destroy you. Maybe like sex, a year plus, he had this terrible cough. I knew. He told me to come and pray, and I pray for him. With his cough, he will still want to smoke. So when he has turned, he will be something. So they put him there because every time he smoked, the thing we had everything in his chest. He did that spray. He thought that I was afraid. He thought that maybe he has cancer of the or what was terrible. So eventually. But they put him down. So it's because of that cough, he stopped. He stopped. So he couldn't smoke because of anytime he did that thing, he will be home. So he stopped. Gradually, they put him on that maybe almost 7-8 months. Because the thing was in his bloodstream. Heaven was the one doing that work to make sure that they will study that bloodstream on him. Why am I telling you that? You don't want heaven to corner you to deal with things in you. You want to submit yourself to God by yourself. Because you have a lot of things to lose. Even to even eat food was different for him. There's a power in the cross. There's a power in Jesus if you submit yourself to it. They make sure he can feel what he's doing to the Holy Ghost. You know, that actual pain that is feeling, that cough, they want you to know how Holy Ghost is uncomfortable with that thing. But there's no way they can express that because it was still a child, understanding. They need for him to see the uncomfortable that thing is to his own body. But you know, so that's how Holy Ghost is feeling on the inside by that action that he was doing. So there are many things we do that we may not know. So I've said something clearly about that Matthew 8, that as it's written, he himself bore. So you can you see here? They say, we have no idea, I cannot be talking with the feeling of an infirmity. So infirmities are sins. So in Matthew, they say, let me read it. Look at it, Matthew 8, 17. Saying, he himself took our infirmities, comma, and bore our sicknesses. So you see these two things that he bore. Infirmities. So a lot of Christians, whenever they quote Isaiah 53, they only quote the place that Joker has carried our sickness, our diseases. And maybe Joker has carried our sin. He has done the cross, so I am now free. No. It's only infirmity he has carried. He has the feeling of the infirmity. Look at me. Every time you don't obey Jesus, you can still feel the pain. Every time I say, wife, you know, I gave our instruction to women last week. I want you to write everything that you don't want to be doing to your husband. If you shout to your husband, I wrote it. I will not shout to my husband. And anytime I will not, if you're angry with your children or you're listening, write it them down. And every time you do it, go back to go and apologize. Sweetheart, I say I won't argue. I've argued with you. I'm sorry. Husband too, you must do the same thing too. Go and do it. Are you hearing me? Married people. I also gave instructions to young single. Go and ask, if you are living with brethren, things that you do that you want to stop. Anytime you do it, go and apologize for it. That thing, something will happen to you. When you begin to do that, after you start ashamed. You start becoming ashamed. You do something to you. You talk back to your husband. You went to the sweetheart, I'm sorry, I talk back today. Tomorrow, you did it. I'm sorry. Next tomorrow, I'm sorry. 1 month, I'm sorry. After a while, you say, my own is too much. You know, that thing, you are going to awaken your sense of your sin. That feeling. You want to make sure you, Paul call it, you carry the reproach of sin. You are carrying the reproach behind it. Because you won't change if you only come back to God to go and say, God, I'm sorry. Now your son make me angry now. That your son you gave me, that your son husband, that husband of mine that you gave to me. There's something that the Lord wants to do to your soul. God wants to work something. God wants to work sorrow for your turning, for your repentance. So he took our sin and bore our sicknesses. A big amen. So give me that Hebrew. Fall back. So, for one of the high priest that can be taught with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all point tempted like as we are. So, when they make mention of infirmity here, it's only sin they mention. Tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let me tell you that infirmity is connected highly to sin. Hebrew 8. Another word you can use to what I'm teaching, another word you can use to say when they say total awareness. And also spirit, soul, and body. The word that Hebrews 7 used for it is called it perfection. Perfection. That's another word for it. Perfection. When you have total awareness and also spirit, soul, and body, that's your perfection. Perfection is not only to your soul. When we say we have attained perfection, it's not only going to be your soul. Perfection must be your spirit, soul, and body. So perfection is not going to live before your soul. Perfection must be reflected in your spirit, soul, and body. That's why your inner man must keep being strengthened until it's perfected. Your soul must also keep being changing until it's like your spirit. And your body too must experience redemption through the groaning, through the feeling, until they redeem your body. It was glaring that the body of John the beloved was redeemed, though it does not have a resurrection body. It is not yet immortal, but he has awesome body. The body of Jesus was an awesome body. Most of us, our body is weak now. You know, I don't know in those days, although God gave the children of Israel hygiene. But what he said that their sanitary was far away around their camp so that nothing can enter the stream, the waterbed. So God told them that their sanitary should be done. And God told them whenever they use sanitary, they should dig hole and cover it. So they don't expose the wastes of the body. They dig and use and cover. And God told them that it should not be around the camp. It should be outside the camp. Because they have what they drink. So they should not be affected. So Hebrew call total awareness and wholesomeness as perfection. That's how Hebrew reference. When you say someone has his head, his soul and body, is perfection. So in this chapter 7 of Hebrew that we are reading. So Hebrews 7 from verse 11 says, if therefore perfection were by Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise, or should rise after the order of Melchizedek, not to be called after the order of Aaron. For the priesthood being changed, there's necessity of a change also of the law. For he of whom this thing has spoken pertains to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is expedient that our laws sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. It is yet far more evident that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made priest forever. After the law of Melchizedek, verse 18. For there is verily a disannoying of the commandment going forth before the weakness and unprofitable thereof. For the law make nothing perfect. Verse 19. Or the law make nothing. Oh. Or the law make nothing immune against sin. But the bringing of a better hope. So we know that one thing that hope does. Hope make you to see the way to draw near to God. See, that's one of the expressions of hope. You can't draw near God. When enter the plant hope, expectations, desire, is to gravitate towards an end. Jeremiah 11. I know the thought I have towards you. Thought of good and not of evil. To give you a future and expected end. Another version says, I know the plan I have towards you, NIV. The plan of good and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. So hope is an expected end. That means hope, something to make your heart to draw near. What is near to God mean? Becoming more like God. When you say draw near to God, be like God. Because God is immune. God's immunity is around the word of oath. The word and the law of oath. So when they say expected end or hope, hope means there's what God has in his mind that he wants you to come into. And I've read to you 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The very God of peace sanctify you only. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you can see that that's the hope of God for you. That's the dream of God for you. Because that's who God is. That's who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is what? Is blameless. When this Hebrews 7 that we're reading, you see it. That's hope. Hope that make you to draw near to God. Draw near to God does not mean that I'm closer to God by physical. Draw near to God means the hope means I am like God. That's how you draw near. Draw near me. My heart is like the heart of God. My mind, my thinking, my imagination is like of God. That's what they call draw near. To draw near me, I have resemblance. I have the same thing like God. So draw near is not when I open our eyes, when I worship him. We draw near to God. When he say man have drawn near to God, I mean a man has the attribute of God. He has the character of God. He has the laws of God. For the law make nothing perfect, or the law make nothing whole. But the bringing of a better update by which we draw near, we become more like God. For inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made perfect. So it was Glenda, one of the things that made Jesus Christ to be perfect. Every other priest do not have his oath. Every priest, every prophet, they have the word of God. Some of them have the law of God. And they have the covenant. And testimony, but they don't have the oath of God. So they could not be made perfect. For those priests, we are made. They were made. The word of God made them. Law of God made them. But they were made without an oath. So oath in Hebrew chapter 6, they say is the end of all strife. Which they call the oath as the two immutable things. 7. For those priests were made with an oath, but this Jesus with an oath by himself that said unto him, the Lord swore and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much, Jesus was made a surety, a guarantee of a better testament. What Jesus was made, he said that to guarantee you that you too can be made perfect. That you too can be made whole. You can be made complete. You can be totally well. You can be totally whole. Because Jesus was whole. So Hebrew called total wellness. They call it perfectness. You can be a wholesome husband. You can be a wholesome sister. You can be a wholesome son and daughter for yes, Jesus. He was not made for himself. He was made for you. So by so what, Jesus made a church of a better testament. And they, what are they? The priests that were not made without oath. They truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. So he used the word reason of death here. But later in the last verse of this scripture, he called it by reason of infirmity. Look at verse 28. So we're talking about the priest. So what they call reason of death there is infirmity. Because they are infirm. No, it's talking about priests. For every priest we are made by the law. Yes, but without oath, he then die it now in 28. Want to go? Can you read everybody? For the law make men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of oath, which was since the law maker the son, which is okay, which consecrated forever. So you can see that every high priest that on earth, that they made them with law, and you cannot have the law if you don't have the word. You only have the law, the spirit of life in Christ. After you have the law of Christ, word of Christ. For them to have the law, it means they have used the word. He says, so reason why this priest could not continue. What means to continue? To continue is to abide. To continue is to remain. To continue is to endure. When they say remain, no, I they remain, no. You know something? One thing that's very hard, that doctor, when decay is setting, over time, I've heard people that they cut up their hand, they cut up their leg because of decay. You know that medicine doesn't have a way of reversing decay. They, so that it doesn't spread, they cut off. So Holy Ghost was teaching me the law of decay. He said because decay comes as a result of corruption. And that was sin does to a man. But we don't know. We don't know how we decay. It's supposed for his soul to decay. Decay is a sign that something is already perishing. When a fish starts decaying, it shows that corruption has entered. And the Bible said the whole creation and all the body of corruption. So it shows that men are decaying. So you have told me that the only thing that can reverse decay, don't say 18 has immunity. If it doesn't have immunity against decay, what God wants to do to your soul, what God wants to do to your spirits, what God wants to bless your body with, God wants to bless your body and raise your body with things against decay. Because you can say, he prayed that prayer, that will not leave your soul, the sun here. Now shall you allow everybody to seek corruption. Don't let decay enter me. So they said that every high priest that they consecrated them with law, with the word, with covenant, but not with oaths, that they could not continue by reason of death. So there's nothing that can undo death because death is decay. Nothing can fully arrest death working in a man, either as a law of death or distinct of death. Distinct of death means the poison of death. And the poison of death is in sin. 1 Corinthians 15. And the stink of death has strength. He has his sin. What the stink of death does is to cause fast decay. Gospel. People are decaying. And many people are decaying in the church. To decay means they are rotten. That was what James was handling. Apostle James. He said, canker has eaten rottenness. Those things that break a man down. God wants to raise us above those things that immediately decay starts. It's only God that knows what it takes. And God knows how to reverse decay and make a man prosper.
Yes, sir.
Sin, transgression, that is what they do. They decay a man. They decay a man. They make sure you keep decaying. But just that you don't see such decay because it's happening to your soul. You don't even see the decay in the body every time you sin because they don't show. But decay is happening to the body. And many unbelievers that are yet to give life to Christ, they don't even see the decay that their death spirit that is yet to be quickened is undergoing. The spirit is not just dead. Every spirit of an unbeliever is not just dead, it's decaying. This unbeliever are becoming worse and worse. And that's the danger. When Hebrew chapter 6 was warning, those who are once enlightened, those who have tasted the gift of the Holy Ghost, that will turn them back. He said, what has happened to them? They are twice dead. Because once saved, forever saved, it doesn't matter what I continue or I do. One way, Holy Ghost can endure you for 30 years. You are mad that you have fury. You get easily angry. And when you are getting, you are like, Sakmana. The way your anger is so this thing, you can kill somebody or you can do things. Or you are so, nobody can beg you. Or when you keep malice, everybody will talk. They won't take you from there. Or those things, or strive. You just like to strive. You are a contender. You like to contend. If Holy Ghost cannot go to correcting you, you are not ready to cut the grief and the sorrow of it, to repent and change and turn. What will happen is two ways. Because every time you do that, decay happens to your body. So you can see believers that they are burning on some things, unforgiveness. Decay can happen to their body and they drop their body in their 40s. Because nobody knows that body has been decaying. Because why? You have put your body as a slave to sin. You have used that body under the dominion of sin. And anytime you sin, something dies in you. But you don't see it. Decay happened to the body. So out of mercy, it's mercy that decay has happened. Because heaven is afraid that decay has already happened in the soul, but it must not continue in the soul. Sometimes they allow people to fall in their body. You may be a believer. You are born again, feel the Holy Ghost, but they don't want decay to set into your spirit. Yeah. Because that's they are going to lake of fire.
Yeah.
So they don't want it to happen. They don't want decay to set in. They don't want you to become twice dead because of the law of decay. So oftentimes, even we allow the decay of your body, they will come and take away your soul because of those things. That's why they connected strongly long life to those who are in the corridor of salvation. Because why? They are addressing decay in the body in that extent. And they are also addressing decay in the soul. And that their inner man is being strengthened by change that their soul is coming into. So those decay, which are infirmities of the body, are being taken care of. It's not that they don't yet have resurrection body. They don't have immortality yet. But they are taking care of infirmity, which are programs of decay in the body. They are making them perfect. And one of expression of perfectness that they can live long.
Wow.
It's not prayer. But it's not what they are doing. They will live long. They don't need to pray. So long that they are obeying righteousness, they will live long. They will live long. And again, it's a sign that they are delivering them from the bondage of corruption. That's what Romans 8 was teaching. They are being delivered from the bondage of corruption. If truly you yield to the spirits and you are dying daily to sin and death. If you are dying daily, that's what I say, it's a daily benefit. In that Hebrews 7, look at what those high priests of those days used to prolong a little bit. They are self in priesthood. He said, for the priest of those days, in what? In that Hebrews 7 that I'm reading. He said, for they offer daily sacrifice for themselves, who daily loaded with benefit. So there's a daily provision. The priests of those days that are used, they offer daily. There are daily things that they must load you with. It's not weekly, it's daily. 23, 24, 25, 27 together. Let's go quickly and run into it. But this man, because he continued forever, I was like, why we don't continue? Because of decay. So Joker, I want to make Joker different from the other high priests. They can't continue. Add an unchanging priesthood. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost. That he can say, he can bring them to total awareness and total awesome in spirit, soul, and body. See, to save them to the uttermost, then that come unto him. So that will come unto him. All of us, we say, those that draw near to God, come unto God. It's to them, look more like God. That come to God. Well, they that were coming unto God, coming unto God, under, I'm coming to God. You know what I mean? They are going through metamorphosis, continuous change, to be like God, to be like God. They are coming to God by him. See, he ever lived to make intercession. Intercession is not prayer alone. Intercession means he's making supply. It's ministry to them. For such an high priest, it became us. Who is holy? Harmless. No, I told you, First Thessalonians, it's able to make you blameless. Harmless, undefiled, separate from sinner, make higher than the heavens. Verse 7. Who need not daily? After Joker came into the state, it was not a daily provision anymore. But when Joker was upon the earth, he was enjoying some daily provision. Before he became this high priest, he was, that's why I say, pray, give us this day our daily bread. Our father. Talk about receiving something daily from the father. That was developing his soul to be healthy. His body to come into redemption before he received resurrection body. The body of Jacob was restored. Who need not daily as those high priests to offer sacrifice first for his own sin, then for the people. For this he did once. Because I told you something, he didn't have sin. So he was obeying God. But because God was giving something that was daily. God was giving something daily that he used to sustain. Because they told him, sacrifice and offering that will let not. It's not offering that have no pleasure. A body that prepared me. So there was something that God prepared for him. And God was loading that thing that God prepared. God was nourishing his soul and his body and his spirit daily. With instruction, with commandment, with word, with laws. For this he did once when he offered up. But eventually, when he offered up himself, this is when he died. He offered himself once. Then verse 28. For the Lord make men high priests which have infirmities. So they are saying that he could not have any infirmity. So what the high priest that they gave the law were trying to take care by daily offering. What they are trying to take care of their own infirmities. So if this high priest, they thought they were taking care of offering by offering for sin of themselves, that offering could not address infirmities. But he was also making an high priest. But that's that. What the priest of the oath was, they were using sacrifices for sin to address the infirmity. But he has another thing that he was receiving daily that this other priest do not have access to. So they said what he has access to was the word of oath. So he has access to the word of oath. They have access to sacrifice and offering, but he has access to the word of oath. So if you want to understand the oath, you go and read Hebrews 6. For the Lord make nothing perfect. For the Lord make men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of oath. For the Lord make men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of oath, which was since the law. So imagine the word of oath had been before the law of Moses. So when Joker came, the high priest, they could not use the word of oath. But Jesus, when he came upon the earth, a body that prepared me, he could use the word of oath. And the word of oath make him to become healthy and have immunity. So, but those people, they can't use it. So what they could use is only sacrifice and offering. Laws, carnal commandments, washing, and sprinkling of blood of animal, bull and goat. But he has something that he can use. He could use word of oath. And what the law could not do, in that it was weak, whether it's an unprofitable DRS in earlier verse, but word of oath could cover that thing. He can deliver what the law could not deliver. So the word of oath made Jesus to become healthy immunity. So Joker has developed immunity against sin. Developed immunity against death in his spirit, in his soul. Though he was tempted. So Jacob was being tempted daily, like everybody. The way you are going through temptation every day, Jacob also was going through temptation every day. But Jacob could not be overcome by temptation because of what was making him. There was a word that was making him. Somebody said, Daddy, how do you know that it was a word that made him? It's in the Old Testament now. Satan came to him, turn this stone to bread. Jacob's answer him, as it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Lord. So Jacob was something that was proceeding for the mouth of the Lord. And that thing was proceeding for the mouth of the Lord was everyone was loading him daily with it. Since something was proceeding for the mouth of the Lord, it was not only word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. When you read that, it's that he said, a law will proceed out of me. So a word came, love, word of hope, love. So things proceeded from John. And that thing I was praying was something that made him. And that thing developed. This one was building healthy immunity in him. Immunity against decay, immunity against sin, immunity against death. You see, it was not vitamin that made Joker not to be sick. Joker used to do a lot of trekking. He was in Israel. In those days, when you do trekking, they usually put water to wash your face and oil to massage your leg. But you will never see any time that they say they massage the body of Jesus. And Joker was doing a lot of trekking. Joker didn't have us. What God is committing to us, our power to take care of you, to keep our body. There's no any other thing that will keep your body except this thing. This thing will keep our spirit. It will keep our soul. That's what Thessalonians 5 was saying. The very God of peace will sanctify you only. I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved. Spirit, soul, and body be preserved. Blameless. So there's a provision in the gospel for your spirit, your soul, and your body to be preserved. Blameless. They won't find fault with your body. They will carry you to Amara. They will scan you and they will see that your brain is like the brain of a 20-year-old boy. In your 80s, in your 60s. They will go and test all your organ. They will take your kidney. Your kidney will still be like a kidney of 30-year-old man when you are in your 90s. Because what they are committing to you have power to reverse decay. Decay in your spirit. Decay in your body. Because you must believe this thing.
Yes, sir. I
believe. This is what it means to be a believer. To be a believer is not that you believe God for money. Money will pass away. Believe God for things that at last. They train you to believe for God for your healing, for your body. They train you to believe God for your admission. Train God to believe for husband and wife. They are doing nothing to train you to believe God for the invisible. Train you to believe God for the unseen. You know, we started discipleship lesson. Believing God for the unseen. This is what they want you to believe God for. This is why they are training with all the cannot believe in that you're doing is to train you for this thing. That with God, these things are possible to he that believeth. And there shall be performance of these things to he that believes. You believe with your heart, but your soul, you obey God to come into this thing. I want you to stand up on your feet and begin to respond to God.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akeo Senior Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.